Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about heaven right here on earth. Peace, peace, peace. Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another Real Talk with New Order session series, broadcasting live every third Tuesday of the month, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is brought to you by the dynamic dream team of New Order National Human Rights Organization. We got the senior advisor in the building, Greg Giles. So without further ado, it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some of the others, the not I, but we team of New Order for this Real Talk with New Order series. So there.
Yes. How's everybody doing? This is Greg Giles and John Drummond, and we're here live with New Order and Real Talk. Let's go ahead and play our intro music right quick so we can go ahead and get into this thing. Yeah, we're talking no justice, no peace.
Yes, sir.
Yes, live. We're here tonight with John Drummond and Greg Giles. Real Talk with New Order, compliments of Gerald Rose of New Order Organization. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things that's going on in the world that we're dealing with right now. How's it going, John?
It is a blessed evening. So blessed to be on here with you, Brother Gerald. Once again, peace and blessings to Brother Knowledge for allowing us to spread the word of justice for the voiceless. Just happy to be here tonight, Brother Greg.
Okay, great. We got a lot of stuff that's going on that we really need to go ahead and address, and we really want to go ahead and talk about what are we dealing with this coronavirus. Is this something that we really have to be afraid of, or is this just a scare tactic to get people scared of some sort? We have to look at all of the facts. We got to look at the dilemmas, and we actually got to find out what we need to do about it as individuals.
Definitely. And if I may, before we dwell deep into that serious situation, I want to let our listeners know, our organization as well, that Ms. Pamela Smith, one of our clients that we have coming out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Gerald told me that she may very, very well be listening tonight, so we want to make sure that we get her story out as well. If I can do a quick little bio on her story, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ms. Pamela Smith is the founder of the Pamela Smith Foundation, and she's taking her 23-year civil rights violation battle to the 10th Circuit of Courts of Appeals. She's exposing widespread corruption in the state of Oklahoma. So I want to thank Gerald Hall from The Nation for spearheading this and getting us involved. Gerald Rose did venture out to Tulsa, Oklahoma just a couple of days ago. The story is as follows, very briefly, because I know we want to tackle this coronavirus pandemic that's going on. But as of Ms. Pamela Smith's story, in 1997 and 1998, Ms. Smith was repeatedly raped by an Oklahoma State Agency employee and Supervisor Smith when she was a janitor at the Department of Public Safety there in April of 1998. The perpetrator of Ms. Smith's rape used a glass salt shaker to sexually assault Ms. Smith. After Ms. Smith had reported the abuses, she continued to experience the supervisor of the employee responsible. In 1999, Department of Safety investigator Lieutenant George Randolph, Smith had identified the glass salt shaker to him that was used to sexually assault her by the state employee. In 2004, a grand jury was impaneled to determine whether sufficient evidence existed to bring charges against the perpetrator of Ms. Smith's sexual assault claims. To Ms. Smith's shock and utter dismay, the physical evidence, field file, and medical records, all in the state's possession at one point, was missing. And the Department of Public Safety then put forward a narrative that no such evidence ever existed. No criminal charges were ever filed against Ms. Smith's assailant, and Ms. Smith was unable to prove her case in a civil lawsuit. In October of 2018, petitioner Ms. Pamela Smith, by happenstance, became aware of a Tulsa County District Attorney printed form with information related to her being sexually assaulted with a glass salt shaker. In May of 2019, Ms. Smith filed a $5 million lawsuit in federal court against multiple Oklahoma state agencies involved with destroying the physical evidence related to her rape. That lawsuit was later dismissed, without providing Ms. Smith her secured rights under the U.S. Constitution to a full and fair opportunity to litigate. Ms. Smith now takes her case to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit, no longer begging for justice, but demanding it. So I just wanted to get her story out there. Gerald is actively involved. I believe that he does have some good news for us that he's going to be revealing to us and on the airwaves as well, as far as Ms. Smith getting some justice or on her way to that justice. So I just wanted to throw that out there very briefly, Greg.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, I can't even if somebody going to prison and then, you know, you're already in a bad situation and they're making it worse by actually abusing you sexually. And then especially when they talked about, you know, her sister was sickly and she wanted to go see her sister. And then they tell her that she can't go anywhere unless they, you know, unless they do what they want to do with her. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is totally ludicrous. And not to mention that they found the salt shaker that they used to, you know, push inside of her and rape her with. I mean, this is crazy. They tried to actually, once it was found, they actually tried to get rid of the evidence, but it was already documented that on paper that, you know, this had been done, this is what was found, but they did try to get rid of the evidence, and this is crazy. And I can imagine how many other young ladies or either young men that go through this in the prison system, you know, saying that prison system is nothing good for anybody, especially if you're being raped and tortured and all types of other stuff going on in there. These things need to be addressed. These things need to be stopped. And these people need to have justice for these inhumane crimes that are committed against them.
Definitely. And in the era of the Me Too movement, you know, we as a society know that rape and other injustices toward women have been going on since forever. And it just does me a bit of happiness that, you know, our sisters' story, the Black sisters, the African-American sisters' stories are being told even more so. And I'm glad that Ms. Pamela Smith has gotten out on the forefront to get her story out. We are making this national. We are bringing attention to Mrs. Smith's plight, and we have a team, a legal team that's behind her that's going to get her justice over these so many, 23 years it took before her story was actually out because of the corruption. There are so many top names involved in this cover-up. You can't imagine. And this is all, you know, saying within the city and the state of Oklahoma. So shout out to Ms. Pamela Smith, and God bless her, and so happy that New Order National Human Rights Organization was able to help her in her plight. So definitely proud about that. Gerald E. Rose, our CEO, for getting out there and getting the information and the news about her situation nationally. Thanks to Gerald Hall of the Nation of Islam, a colleague and friend of New Order National Human Rights Organization, who brought this to our attention with a few others. Unfortunately, the names have passed me right now, but definitely want to give a shout out to all those involved who helped to bring Ms. Pamela Smith's name.
And I also want to let everybody know about I also want to let everybody know about if they need any of our help, New Order, National Human Rights Organization, is a national organization. We do help people across the country in any means necessary that we can actually use to put give justice to those individuals. If you need, you know of anybody or you need our help yourselves, this is a 1-800 number. I want you to write it down if you get a chance. I'll go ahead and say it a couple of times throughout this radio show so that you guys will have a chance to actually write it down if you missed it. The number is 1-800-346-5138. Once again, that number is 1-800-346-5138. And, yes, we want to go ahead and, you know, let everybody know that's listening. If you want to chime in or you have a question or you want to comment, please press the 1 to be connected. Please press the 1 to be connected. We want to go ahead and get into a lot of this other stuff, Mr. John. So what else is going on that we really want to go ahead and get addressed right now that people need to get some understanding about?
Well, definitely. As of March 11th, this coronavirus had been officially considered a pandemic. And considering all the countries involved, all the deaths that have occurred as a result of this major, you know, I hear a lot of cliches of late, and never have I ever heard cliches that hit so close to home: crisis, pandemics, state of emergencies. African American community, I want to implore that this is serious, y'all. This is serious business. This coronavirus is something that we shouldn't take lightly. And it's something that we all should heed, no matter what our political views are or our stances or, you know, how we worry about, you know, conspiracy theories. No, this is real. This is something that we really need to take heed. It's all across the globe, not only in the United States. It's everywhere. So, the whole thing about washing your hands, and it sounds so corny and so simplistic thing to do, but you know, this has saved lives in the past, and the way to forehead and get on top of something, you know what I'm saying, moving in the future, is learn from your past. 1918
exactly.
Is something that, in 1918, a pandemic that closely resembles what we're experiencing now. Of course, they had other challenges, but the situation is similar. The Spanish flu of 1918, the reason why it's similar to what's going on now, the Spanish flu hit around the end of their winter, around the springtime, and it lasted up until the warm months where it subsided. And the thing that, you know, everyone should be concerned about is, even though it subsided once the warm months, the Spanish flu came back and was more dangerous in the fall months. So we just need to listen right now. Nobody should be cocky. Nobody should think that, you know, there's some big conspiracy going on in order to affect us in a negative way. Right now, we should be concerned about spreading the virus. And the way we need to do that is from what we're being told, is from social distancing. If you ain't got to go out, brothers and sisters, don't go out. You know, there's nothing wrong with staying at home if it's absolutely necessary. You know, a lot of people got to work. I understand that. A lot of people have responsibilities that have them out there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what you absolutely don't have to do. You don't have to go out to bars. If you don't have to go out to a crowd of imploring us to not do that. So everyone take heed. And you know, I know Greg wants to get on top of this as well, so let me pull back. But just me, I'm passionate, man. You know, we got to look out for each other. And, you know, my viewpoint and New Order National Human Rights Organization viewpoint is for the voiceless. And I'm telling you, we have to definitely take this seriously.
Exactly. Because of the fact that we got to stick together, no matter how this actually turns out. We got to remember that sometimes we're all we got, and we don't help each other out, be a good neighbor, be a good sister, be a good brother, be a good parent, to the people that we love. We definitely got to actually show that commitment, to show them that, you know, sometimes, you know, saying it's worth putting our lives on the line to make sure that others are safe. So one thing that I've noticed that when the last couple of days is that the scary thing that people are doing as far as with the mask, and they're in the store and they're buying up all the food. That is something that you definitely want to make sure that you're prepared food-wise, because they're saying 2 weeks, but what if it happens to be 2 months? Are you prepared for that? What about your water, your drinking? Like, the people are laughing about the toilet paper, but that's a serious issue. If you run out of toilet paper after about 2 or 3 weeks, and this thing is lasting 2 or 3 months, what are you going to do? We have to be prepared for that. What if your electricity goes out? Are you going to sit in the dark? Do you have candles? Do you have batteries? Do you have any type of generator that you can generate any type of electricity to keep your refrigerator on? Do you have any food that if your electricity does go out, that you still will be able to eat that won't spoil? These are the type of things that you got to think about, because we always got to look forward, think ahead of time. You would rather be prepared than not prepared. Remember, listeners, if you want to go ahead and comment, press the one to be connected in. These are the things when it comes to food and survival we have to be aware of. So some things that, that we take for granted are certain things that we're going to need, for survival. Maybe if this thing turns to be something totally different, I actually understand that they've 200,000 Kemp has deployed to come to Georgia. What is that going to be all about? Is there going to be locking people up if they try to leave their homes, or what's going to happen? We don't know. We'll have to find out and wait and see. But we have to keep a positive mind on everything that we do and know that we're going to come out of this on top. What do you think? What are the best things that we need to actually have in our homes to keep us safe and to make sure that we survive this epidemic or this coronavirus, John?
Well, here's the thing, Greg. Please, everyone, we totally understand the panic-fueled tension that is going on within this nation. I get it. This is something we have to understand. This has never happened to any single one of us in this generation ever before. So nobody knows how to handle this. Even from the top health officials, they're guessing and they're, trying to figure out things, but they're the best qualified. If they're guessing and they're trying to figure out the best move, who are we to say, well, no, I'm going to go this route, I'm going to do this? No, man. The top officials are basing everything on numbers. They're basing everything on math. They're basing everything on the spread of this virus. You can't stop this virus. The only thing you can do is slow it down. And that's what we want everyone to understand. I understand you want essentials for your household. I understand that you want to go to these stores and get everything you feel you're going to need. But let's not get carried away. Understand that we live in this society together. If we preach unification, if we preach, being there for every man, woman, and child, understand that there are elderly out here in our communities that may not be able to get out to the large stores and clear out the shelves, everything that they possibly need. We need to think about them as well while we're going through this situation. Like I said, this is a emergency. This is a pandemic. I think, Greg, to answer your question, I think we all should act as if we already have this disease, because it's not something that, you walk around with a sign on your forehead saying, I have the coronavirus. There are a lot of people infected that don't even realize they're infected. And the incubation time is so long of a time that you won't realize that you're infecting people until they're already infected. I know there are movies out there that, can help people understand what a pandemic or an epidemic, saying as far as people's reactions. One that I watched just a couple of days ago, Contagion, that's a very good one. I would suggest people watch it, because it's not to induce any panic. It only explains how a a virus that can be spread through the airwaves, how it reacts and how people can get infected. So
Was that containment?
Contagion, yes. It came out in 2011. It stars Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay, that wasn't the one where it actually happened here in Atlanta in the movie, was it?
Yes.
No, I think we're talking about. I think we're talking about two different ones because I know Containment, the TV series, was an epidemic that was based
well,
here
no,
in
this
out
was
of
an
Atlanta.
Movie. This was an actual movie. It wasn't a TV series. It was an actual movie. And yes, a lot of these movies actually have scenes and times within the movie where they're in Atlanta, because of course we all know that the CDC is in Atlanta. So yeah, a lot of scenes are taken down in Atlanta. But no, this is the actual movie, not the series Containment. I know you speak of that, but no, this is the movie Contagion. These viruses are spread. These viruses and things of this nature have been around since the beginning of time. If we had a microscope in order to see, you know, the bacteria and things that are so small that affect so many of us, we would be a lot more sensible, clean our hands, and stay out of the public, and to just make sure that our elderly are taken care of. Go to your next door neighbor if they're elderly or if they can't take care for themselves and be unhealthy. Just knock on their door and say, hey, I'm about to go to the store. You know, is there anything you need? You know, I'd be more than happy to get it for you. It doesn't take much to have a kind heart and do something for your fellow man. And that's basically what this Christian organization is about. You know, our mission statement is on our website at www.nonhro.org. Please go to it and see what we're about. We're about being the voice for the voiceless. New Order National Human Rights Organization's hotline number. If you or anyone you know has felt like you've been served any type of injustice in this world, in this area and times in which we live right now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to run into problems with feeling their rights have been violated. So just call our hotline, 1-800-346-5138. If you feel your rights have been violated, especially during this time, like Greg said, the reason why, I know this is a quote-unquote scary word, but the reason why the word martial law keeps coming up, this is something everyone has to explain. If we all adhere and do what we're supposed to do as a human as human beings, and that is protect ourselves and protect those around us, and to stay 6 feet away from anybody when we're in large groups, to stay at home unless absolutely necessary, to wash our hands anytime we interact with anything, to act like we actually have this disease, we can nip at least the high level of the spread of this disease. We can't stop the disease, but what we can do, we can nip it in the bud. It happened during the 1918 Spanish flu, in which Philadelphia did not adhere. It was two cities that are good examples of what you are supposed to do and what you aren't supposed to do. Very quickly, in Philadelphia during the 1918 Spanish flu, they had parades. They wasn't worried about them. Oh, man, this flu ain't what people talking about. Man, I'm going to go out and have me a drink. I'm going to go out and kick it. A lot of lives were lost during that time because they didn't adhere what they were being instructed to do. St. Louis actually shut down all businesses. They shut down all interactions with large groups, and they were able to keep the spread of the disease to a minimum. So that's what we have to enforce and to keep getting into people's heads, is that this is very serious, and to take this very serious. Like I said, it's not a political thing. It's not a conspiracy thing. It's not a, oh, I hate Trump. I ain't going to listen to what he says. It's not about that. This is a life-threatening thing for every single human being, black, white, whatever. So please
I think we have a call on the line, John.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a caller with a 404 area code trying to get in?
Yes, this is Janice from Stone Mountain. Can you hear me?
Hey, Janice, how are you doing?
Hello, Janice.
Hi, I'm good. I've been watching the news, and I've been listening a lot about this virus. Initially, they said it was airborne. You sneeze, you cough, you spread it that way. Now they're saying that it can be on surfaces, and it can live on a surface for days. Not one day, not 2 days, but days. So therefore, not only do we have to wash our hands, cover our cough, but now we must spray the doorknob, get your Lysol out, wipe things down, because it lives on surfaces now. So there's a lot of unknowns about this virus. So this is good that we're talking about it and that we should educate each other, our families, our friends, and our listeners, to know that wipe things down. Not only is, you know, from a cough, but wipe your surfaces down, your doorknobs, your steering wheels, your car doors. We just have to start wiping things down and also just stay home. As they say, if it's okay to work from home, work from home.
No.
But just be, use your due diligence.
Definitely, Janice.
No, Janice, take
care of yourself. I can interject very quickly. You are correct, Janice. The airborne severity, it actually can be transmitted airborne, but the longevity of it. In other words, if someone sneezes, then that sneeze, as long as it's, that's why they're telling people to stay 6 feet away from each other. In other words, if I sneeze and I'm 6 feet away from someone, it will not infect, or that's what they assume, it will not infect that person. But it can be picked up airborne. It's just the incubation and the rate and time in which it takes to get there. If I just sneeze out in the air and it doesn't land on anything, like you said, then no, it can't be contracted. But like you said, you are 100% correct. If it does touch surfaces, that is exactly how it can be transferred. If I sneeze on a table and someone touches that table and then they touch their face or their eyes or their mouth or anything and the like, yes, that is exactly how the disease is spread.
Yes. So it's multiple transmissions, multiple ways that it can be transported.
Correct.
You know, so
correct,
that's what
yes.
We should educate each other. Multiple,
thank you
not
so
only
very
one
much
way,
for that
but
information.
Other ways. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you.
Well, God bless you.
No problem.
Again.
We really
I certainly
your,
appreciate your call.
Yes, and so we get to talk about, you know, the things that we could do to keep everybody safe and secure, but also remember that if you're not working right now, there are other things that you could possibly do to actually keep yourself going. If you get a moment, if your job has actually told you that you can't come in due to the coronavirus and they're not paying you, I do believe that you can go down to the unemployment office and file for partial unemployment because you haven't been fired, but you're not working. And that actually qualifies for partial unemployment. So that's one thing that people can actually check on. That could actually supplement a little bit of income while they're sitting at home. And also, if you've got a lot of time on your hands for the next couple of weeks, think about things that you could do to be productive. If you got some extra cleaning that you need to do or organizing that you need to do, or if you're a writer, if you've always wanted to write a book, now's a great time to write a book, you know, about your life story, the history of things that you like, such as children's stories, movies, things of that nature. We want to be productive while we're sitting at home if that's what we're doing. We don't want to be just sitting around and just eating and things like that. Let's go ahead, you know, we still have to exercise, if you know, stretch and move around a little bit. We just don't want to be sitting around and stuff, you know. Very important to life. You know, life is all about us living, and living is about, you know, possibly just interacting with people on a day-to-day basis. Well, you know, if, even with your children and stuff, you know, if they're out of school, you know, if they're not learning anything, teach them something about, you know, their history, world, things that matter, you know, economics, you know, stock markets and things of that nature, things that they might not even know about, things that they won't learn in school. So we just have to really be productive about what we do and use our time wisely. John, what do you think? You know, are there things that you could think about that people can actually do to keep themselves busy during this this crazy time?
Yes, actually, that was absolutely, ultimately awesome advice from you, Greg. Thank you very much. Yes, we definitely want to stay busy. I'm a girthy man myself. I think about how ironic that last week, well, a couple of weeks prior to all this going on, I was invited to join this Black Men's Health Program that they've been implementing here in Columbus, Ohio, you know, to get black men more involved and more interested in getting their health together. And just, you know, of course, because of this virus, you know, they had to shut it down. And I thought to myself, well, now look, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be hitting these stores up, getting supplies and getting resources for the house, and I ain't going to do nothing but sit here for the next couple of weeks and just, you know, get unhealthy. And that's the wrong way to think. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Greg, use your time wisely. I just saw on social media where there were websites in which you could go to actually get courses that these high, like Harvard and Yale, you know, these top schools are implementing in their classes. You can actually go online and take some of these classes that these colleges have. I mean, use your imagination. Like you said, Greg, you know what I'm saying? If you have been stunted behind this virus due to your employment, the way how you make money, think of other ways of making money. I mean, you can go, I'm sure, because I learned this myself, I'm sure if you walk around your home, and this takes, you don't even have to leave your home in order to make money. If you look around your home, I'm sure there is almost a plethora of things that you could think of that you don't use anymore, or you don't use routinely, or you just have just because, you know, you have it, that you can go online and sell on eBay and profit off of that. I mean, there are just different ways in order to keep yourself busy. If you have children, of course, a lot of states, Ohio spearheaded a lot of these things that are implemented throughout the nation now. One of those things is that we, prior to everyone else shutting the schools down, we were one of the first to shut down the schools and places of education. But once these children are cooped up in the house and they're starting to have cabin fever, I mean, there's got to be, you have to think of things to do with them. And one of those things is, you know, we are our children's best teachers. You know, we've been here for a long time. We got all that wisdom. Share that wisdom with your children. Don't just let them sit around and play on video games and get on the internet. You know, stop that time for a time being and get back with the family if that's something that you're not accustomed to doing. You know, this is the perfect time to sit with your family at the dinner table and have a group discussion and have a family discussion and get back that relationship that you've lost because so many hours children are away from you because you are at work or because they are at school. Well, this is the time to do that. You know, we are a Christian organization, so I believe, you know, that nothing happens, you know, coincidentally. Maybe, you know, the forces that be, whatever you want to call your higher power, has just set things in motion for us to be closer, for us to get back, you know, in a more unified and family way, you know, with the age of information, with the age of the internet and things of that nature. You know, we are and smartphones, we are so removed from people. It's time to get back with family. So yes, use this time wisely, Greg. Like I said, that was awesome advice you gave. And like I said, I was just piggybacking on what you said. Just use this time wisely.
Exactly. Like you said, and we talk about a lot of other things that, you know, that the government has been doing over these years, such as germ warfare and things of that nature. And we over that stuff. So that means that, you know, we can get over this. You know, we shall overcome, as the saying say. So we can't let this stress us out or get us down, because we still have to live, you know. So, you know, it's like you said, you know, we have to just follow the precautions and things of that nature, but we also got to be prepared in case a turn of events actually turns worse, where we can't actually leave out of our homes, you know, and we have to be prepared, you know. And also, in times like this, it's good to check on your loved ones, the ones that you maybe haven't talked to in a while, that, you know, you might want to call and make sure that they're okay. Just say, I'm just calling to check on you. You're okay. You're good. You need anything? Because that's what family is supposed to be about. That's what friends are supposed to be about, checking on one another, making sure that everybody is in a safe place and in a safe environment. I also want to, you know, just say that for the people that, you know, are looking at things that, you know, that, you know, there are a lot of things that people don't like about other people, that some can actually categorize as petty, you know what I'm saying? You know, if there's something that you want to, you know, apologize to somebody about, you know, just go ahead and just apologize. Sometimes you got to be the bigger person, you know.
Say, amen.
Hey, you know what, I know, you know, we've had these issues, you know, I want to go and squash it. Let's go ahead and throw this up under the rug. Let's get, you know, let's, you know, cut this out. You know, we're bigger than this, you know, saying, you know, I've seen friends for 20 years fall out over an argument at a bar. I mean, that's crazy. But, you know, and sometimes, like you said, you know, it takes a person, you know, it doesn't have to be men. It could be women, you know, arguing about, you know, a relationship or either something else that, that's not really, you know, to me that serious. You know, sometimes siblings, family members, you know, distance themselves for certain reasons or another. Sometimes we just gotta accept, put all the pettiness stuff aside, and just reach back out. Hey, say, you know, hey, you know, I still love you. I know we've had some differences in the past. Let's go ahead and start working together on certain things. You know, and nothing is ever going to be perfect, because we're human. You know, we do make mistakes, and we do sometimes make choices that we regret later on. But as long as you're still living, as long as you got breath in your body, you can always redirect that energy and make it into something positive. You know, learn from our mistakes, learn from the things that we've experienced in the past, and we teach the young ones about our mistakes so that they won't make the same one. Sometimes they don't listen, sometimes they do. You know, it all depends on that individual, but it also will make them a better productive citizen in society as they get older. So we have to really, just like you said, sometimes I really want to talk about us getting back to the old ways, the traditional way of raising our kids. You know, I still believe in spankings. I tell people that in a minute. I don't believe in a lot of the stuff that they do nowadays, because of the fact that these kids really feel like they have more control over the parents than the parents have control over the kids. You know, the kids tell the parents what to do, when to do it, and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And I wasn't raised that way, and I'm not, you know, I will not tolerate that type of action from a child. You know, I understand. I like to listen to see their thoughts on certain situations, just to get their input and let them know that I do understand, you know, their thought pattern of what they think about it. But at the end of the day, if you're the parent, you're the parent. You know, don't switch roles and let the child think that they're the parent, that they're running your household. Because, you know, if you got a teenager that thinks that there's nothing that you could say to them, hey, sometimes it's time for them to hit the door and learn the hard way. We can't keep babying these kids, you know. Sometimes, you know, they got to learn out there, you know, and let, you know, this world make them an adult real fast. The responsibilities that we have as an adult will teach them real quick. Like I said, our main topic is, you know, it's really just helping the people get over a lot of stuff that they're dealing with right now in this corona situation that we have going on. I want to make sure that people, you know, are aware of where to, if they need food, if they can't, don't have funds to get food, know where the food banks are, you know, if they're out there homeless and, you know, doesn't have a place to stay, find out where the shelters are, if you don't have any resources and things of that nature, there are people out there that could possibly help you. But just don't give up. You know, you never want to give up in situations like that. There's always some help somewhere. John, you know, I know you're up there in Ohio and stuff. They've shut down a lot of the restaurants and is it the restaurants or just the stores? Or how is that working up there?
Well, shout out to our Governor Mike DeWine, because he actually is the model for the way a lot of the other states have followed suit. Since March 3rd, if you understand that March 11th is when this was actually called a pandemic. So even before it was called a pandemic, March 3rd, Mike DeWine shut down a very large spectators event called the Arnold Classic up here in Columbus. It brought multi-million dollars of revenue for the Columbus area, and he thought, you know, he used his senses to shut that down, because he realized, okay, this is, you know, something that's going to spread by having a lot of people in the same place. He was the first to suspend college classes a week later after that. He closed the public schools shortly thereafter. He was the first governor to implement that. Then followed exactly what you're talking about, where the restaurants and the bar closings. Just a couple of days ago, the 65 and up restrictions on people 65 and up, by them not being able to or being ill-advised to go out unless it's an extreme emergency. He, of course, today shut down the voting at the polls, which I wasn't exactly happy about, but I just want to give credit where credit is due. DeWine is a Republican. You know, he's not a part of my party, but like I said, this isn't a party thing. This isn't an I like or I dislike type of situation. This is a crisis. So, you know, Mike DeWine has been on top of things here in Ohio and continuing. And the thing about that is, the reason why this is so serious, let me give some numbers very quickly before we have to get out of here. I want people to understand that globally, there, as of today, there have been 188,297 confirmed cases of infections of this virus. 7,499 have been fatal. Now, this is globally. 80,848 have been confirmed recovered. Italy, if you know, if you've been watching the news, has been hit very hardly. They shut down the entire country. We have a friend and colleague, a human activist, that moved very recently, a few years ago, to Italy, Michael Leonardi. I want to give a shout out to him. But him and his family have incurred this type of shutdown. So we have to be cognizant that this can happen in your city. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that we're following what we need to follow, because if we don't follow it, then you can be sure that they will make sure that, you know, we follow these things. Now, in the U.S., the cases are, as of today, 4,740 are of confirmed infections, 85 cases that were fatal, and 17 have been confirmed recovered in the United States. What we have to really seriously understand is they don't want hysteria. You see what happens when the news first reported this, that people ran to the stores and cleared out the shelves. So, no, they don't want mass hysteria. So what they're going to do, they're going to ease in and implement things as we go to make sure people are following the steps they need to. If they don't adhere and heed to what people have been, like the health professionals have been asking us, wash our hands, to don't be in large crowds, more than 10 people, don't go to places unless you absolutely necessarily have to go, like the store or the hospital. Everything else, other than, of course, if you have to go to work, you have to go to work. But anything other than that, stay at home. Because what they're going to do is that they're going to slow walk us toward locking us down. If you've noticed in the news, a couple of days ago, San Francisco, the entire city, has been locked down. You cannot go anywhere in San Francisco unless you're going to the store or going to the hospital. Other than that, you have been mandated to stay your behind at home. This can happen nationally. Everyone must understand that. So if you don't want, you know, the federal government to take control of your city or take control of your livelihood, then do what they're asking you to do now. Because if they see that we're doing what we need to do to not spread the virus and to keep it at a minimum, then they'll let the governors do what they have to do. If they feel the governors aren't taking care of this on a serious nature and that people aren't following the rules, that's when the government comes in and says, okay, we're going to shut this down. So people just take heed of that. People understand that it's not that it's some type of government ploy to overthrow, you know, the local systems. No, it's a health issue. So if we're not doing what we need to do, staying safe, staying in our homes, then that's when we need to be concerned about the next step as far as what they're going to do. Like I said, they're not just going to jump down in your city and lock things down. It doesn't happen that way. You know, just like, you know, any conspiracy theorists will tell you, the reason why we know they're the reason why we're told they're not aliens, because what if there are aliens? They're not going to tell you something like that. Everybody will go freaking out. So, no, they're not going to just set martial law down and just shut down everything. They'll do it slowly but surely. But you will see small little things to let you know, okay, we're losing our rights. And that's what we as a national human rights organization want you to understand. You have rights. However, we live in the United States of America. If the government feels like your rights are causing harm, physical harm, fatal harm to people, then they'll take those rights away from you. So on a normal and a regular situation, we must understand that that's why organizations like us exist. If you have any rights as of now that you feel have been violated, if you feel you've had some type of injustice in your life, please call 1-800-346-5138, which is New Order National Human Rights Organization's hotline. Go to our website, www.nonhro.org, just to see what we're about, to check out our mission statement, see the lives that we have touched and affected by just trying to be the voice for the voiceless and being there and helping where we can help at. We have a strong legal team throughout this United States. Our CEO, he routinely goes out and brings attention to the plight of the voiceless. So we're also on social media. You go on Facebook. We have pages on social media. So just check us out and understand that even through this crisis, we are here for you. We are a Christian organization, so God comes first. So I want everyone to understand that we're in prayer right now for everyone in this nation. Hopefully you'll do the same for us. All prayers to everyone during this pandemic.
Okay. Do we have any other listeners that want to actually have any comments about where they're from or before we actually close this radio show down? I also want to mention that I do believe that Gerald Rose will be on Streets on Lock tonight. I believe that's going to be at 9:30. Streets on Lock Radio with Gerald Rose. And that number is 404-748-1539, coming right up. And you can also go to streetsonlockradio.com to hear Gerald Rose at 9:30. Did we miss anything?
No, I was just going to mention that if the National Guard comes out, then you know it's time to stay home. If the National Guard or the Reserves are deployed. It's time to stay home.
Who is that? Who is that speaking? Whose wonderful voice is that?
This is Janice again.
Hey, Janice,
Stone Mountain.
I didn't know you were still online. Thank you so very much. Yes, yes. The National Guard have been implemented and have been sent out, actually, to a couple of cities already. And like I said, San Francisco is on total lockdown. So, yes, if you don't want that type of involvement in your homes, in your cities, in your communities, then do like you're being asked by the health professionals, because they're health professionals. There's a reason why they're telling you to wash your hands, mm-hmm. to stay at home unless you absolutely can't. To make sure that you're not involving yourself around groups of people. There's a reason why they're saying this, because we can't nip this in the bud and quell and calm this disease unless we do exactly what we're being told to do. Thank you, Janice. You're 100% right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have a good night. God bless. Be safe.
You do the same. Thank
you too, Janice.
How you doing?
Hello, go ahead.
Hello. How you doing? This is
Shamika. Go ahead. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
How are you?
I'm
Wait,
fine.
Great.
Thank
you're
you.
Your voice again.
Yes,
right,
yes. I tried to make sure I got on tonight.
Great.
I have a question, because maybe something I missed, because I know I came on a little late. But my concern was, what are they going to do for a lot of the senior citizens that haven't been able to make it out to the stores? Because, you know, these folks been acting crazy out here in the stores. And for people that haven't been working, how would they go about getting funds, you know, during this time?
I don't know about the people that hadn't had work, if they're not getting unemployment, but I do know that the ones that were working that have been told that they can't come back to work until this pandemic is over with, I do know that they can file for partial unemployment because they haven't been fired, and I know that they're not able to go to work, so they would qualify for partial unemployment. But for the people who aren't working at all, I'm not exactly sure. We'll definitely have to check on that. That is one thing that we definitely can check on. And I also did state earlier in the show about people checking on their loved ones because of the fact that, you know, we do understand that a lot of people don't have transportation. A lot of those can't get out. A lot of them on a fixed income that they can only get out at the first of the month to get the things that they need, and anything in between, they're not able to do. So we definitely have to check on the ones that might be in positions like that. Even the ones that are in these homeless places and shelters that you might know of, or these elderly people that might stay by themselves that can't get around and stuff like that, make sure that they have the things that they need. It only takes a second to call. It only takes a couple of minutes to stop by. And, you know, because you never know. That could be a situation of life or death. For you actually, you know, helping somebody else prepare to make sure that they survive this crisis.
Right. I know that's been the biggest question, because nobody has said for people with their own businesses what are they going to do, you know, for money compensation-wise, you know, during this time. We understand about the people that's working, the jobs, because I know some jobs have told their employees to go file for unemployment, but people that have their own businesses that's going to be shut down, nobody has said anything as to how would they be able to get funds.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'd like to check it out myself, because if there's any way that the government can possibly help, we need to find out how, so we can share it with the rest of the people so that everybody can actually benefit from it.
Right. So that'll be a good answer for that one.
Okay. I also want to, Shamika, you have an organization, exactly. What does your organization do?
I was a part of an outreach. I'm not doing it right now, but I'm still involved with the kids. But it was called UR Teen Outreach, and it stands for Unique As We Are. And basically, the teens get involved in, like, community service work for us going into, like, some of the homeless shelters and everything. They was able to go over to one of the nursing homes. So they do a lot of stuff community-wise. They was just recently supposed to be a part of a conference that a friend of mine that's a part of a sorority. So they were supposed to be a part of that this weekend, but, you know, everything got canceled.
Okay. Okay, well, a lot of things are getting canceled. I think I've been invited to a couple of things in the last couple of weeks that have been canceled. So it's definitely a situation where everybody will have to sit at home and stay. But one thing, like I said, I also want to remember people, so if they're at home, make sure that they're being productive. Find books that they can read, or if they want to write their own books, you know, write, you know. If you got some talent as far as writing music songs, you know, do that.
Right.
Something that they didn't know about, you know. We definitely have to be productive on all the things that we do, you know. Even as far as our health, you know, we don't want to just sit around and be eating, and we need to be possibly stretching and doing some type of exercises and making sure that we, you know, we have movement.
Well,
when things pick back up, the teens
are solely under me right now. So once things pick back up, you know, anything community-based wise, anything New Order might have that they could participate in. A lot of parents have stressed to me that they want to keep the teens at this and anything positive that I could get them involved with. They do encourage that. We just try not to overwhelm them, you know, during school time. But it's getting ready to be some. I don't know what some of them will be doing, but I do reach out to the parents to try, you know, anything I do here that they could be a part of positive-wise and making an impact in the community. I try and get them involved in that.
Well, that is great.
In regards to your question about the elderly, this is a time where what I want to say is we take our issues into our own hands. That's what eventually we're going to have to do for each other. A lot of the elderly don't have the internet. A lot of the elderly don't have the information where they can find out what food pantries or shelters or services are available to them. So I implore everyone that would have those resources, that do have that knowledge. I'm not talking about organizations. I'm talking about us, our communities, you know, people in the neighborhood that you know, are elderly and maybe can't get around as well as they used to. Go knock on their doors. Hey, even if you don't know them, you know, introduce yourself and say, hey, you know, I was just checking on you. You know, we got this pandemic thing going on around here. So I have resources. I have a car. If you need me to pick you up some milk from the store, I got a list that I printed out just yesterday of food pantries that, you know what I'm saying, that'll come and drop you off food. Or if you need me to take you to the pantry, I'd be more than happy to do that. We're going to have to be there for each other right now, because a lot of, like you said, Shanique, a lot of these resources have been shut down, have been stopped. So, you know, everything that we can do, that we're able to do, help your fellow man out. You know, I know it sounds, you know, corny, or I know it sounds, you know, but hey, you know what? If we don't look out for each other, no one else is at this time right now. It may not be the best answer for the elderly. You know, I have an elderly mom myself, and I certainly am concerned about her welfare and the fact that here in Ohio, 65-year-olds and older are being mandated to stay in the house unless they absolutely necessarily have to. And I understand that. But at the same time, how do they feel about that? I can just imagine if someone was to tell me, and it's just likely that it could happen within the next few weeks, that someone tells me, hey, I don't care if you're healthy or able-bodied or not, you're not going to be able to go outside until we tell you to. So we have to take it very seriously. But as far as the common man, as far as the human condition, as far as the love for your fellow person. Just put yourself, if you were unable to get from here to there, if you didn't have the resources or the information that you needed to you know, help you out during this crisis that we're in, just try your best. And when I say you, I'm speaking in general. I'm speaking to every single person out there that can. If you can't, you can't. That's totally understandable. But just if you can, if you're able to help out someone that doesn't have, then help them out. This is the perfect time to do that. You know what I'm saying? During the time in which we're all selfish and we're all running the stores and cleaning out shelves, I get that, because everybody is nervous and worried about what's going to happen to them. Okay, but now that that's calmed down a little bit, I'm not going to say it's calmed down a whole lot, but now that it's calmed down a little bit, just think about your neighbor next door. If you went and got 17 packages of toilet paper, go knock on the door and see if they need a roll or two or three. So that's what we have to do right now. You know, think about, you know, your fellow man.
Right. And that's very important. That's very important. I do know a friend of mine, she has put up on her Facebook post, you know, if anybody knew any elderly people that needed anything, because she do a lot of the couponing. So she usually have an overstock of items that she usually have for that she usually sell. But at this point in time, she has posted that she's willing to give some things to the elderly that haven't been
God
able to
her.
Get out and get to the stores.
God bless her. And that's all that we ask for anybody. Anything that you can volunteer, your time. If you don't have money, if you don't have resources, if you don't have a car, volunteer your time. Hey, I see that your trash ain't been taken out, Ms. Johnson. You want me to roll it down to the curb? I can do that for you. You know,
exactly.
You just have to understand that during a time like this, we all got to look out for each other.
Exactly.
And it's
going to
be
so
crucial.
True.
It's going to be crucial.
Yes,
like
man,
you said, the
right.
Best thing to do is not to panic. Don't start panicking just because something is said. We know we've gone through this through every election. Every election, something different comes out. Something different. So it's nothing new. It's nothing new. This too shall pass. Sometimes I feel like the government trying to wipe a certain amount of folks off. That's just my opinion. But every election, something different is going to come out. And we've got everything else, and we're going to get past this.
Yes, we will.
So the key is to remain calm and to stay prayed up. And like you say, be of help one to the other. It's the time now that you're going to have to pull together. Whether you like people or not, you're going to have to come together, probably some of your enemies, to make it.
Amen.
Exactly.
And if you have any type, of political power, if you have any type of influence in your political area in your community, to demand that they do something, you know, for people that are lacking, like Greg said, you know, there are funds and there are situations for people without work. But like you said, Shamika, what about the people that don't have jobs? What about the people like the elderly? What's the help for them? So, you know, if you have any type of political influence, get out there and demand that from your people in power and your municipalities and your city government, and say, hey, look, you know, we're going through a crisis right now. Please, we need help. And there are people out there that don't have resources. We need resources for them.
Exactly. And that's the key point. And this is the time for the people in power to show us who they truly are.
Yes, ma'am. You are right.
We put some of these people in office, and it's time for you to show us who you really are, whose side are you really on. Was you really for the people as you proclaimed before you got in office, or was that all just the front, just to get to that position you got to?
Yes. We got to find out who's really about it and who's just really just talking.
Exactly.
Well, John, I think that we've had a great selection of guests that call in with great ideas and great questions and great comments. I think this has been a really interactive, show tonight with Real Talk with New Order. And I think that we're going to have to go ahead and close it out. Any other statements that anybody wants to say before we close the show out?
No, I just once again want to thank our gracious host, Brother Knowledge, for giving us opportunity. And like he always tells me when I say that, but hey, man, we're all family. So I totally understand. But if he can understand, we totally appreciate it. So, yeah, just a shout-out to Brother Knowledge and all that he does. And I want to let him know, personally for me, totally enjoying all the programs that you have been putting out there on social media. I loved it. The one had with Brother Allah from Brand Nubian, that was awesome, brother. So keep doing what you're doing, man, and I will continue to be a faithful watcher of everything that you're doing out there, brother.
Yeah. Great work, Knowledge. And we definitely appreciate the platform to go ahead and let our voices be heard because, you know, New Order, we are the voice for the voices.
Yes, definitely. Right. And if you our listeners want justice being served in the situations that you're going through from day to day, if you feel like you have been violated from your constitutional legal rights, please give us a call. We have a hotline where Christy Marshall, our executive secretary, will be more than happy to take your information down. The number is 1-800-346-5138. If you want to get involved in an organization like ours, please do. If you're interested in what it is that we do as an organization, visit our website at www.nonhro.org. We're also on social media. On Facebook, we have a few pages. We also have a youth foundation. So just give us a look-see and see if it's something you want to be involved in or if you need our help, we're there for you. We're a national human rights organization and national means throughout these United States. So wherever you are, just reach out to us and we'll definitely see if we can get you – pardon me. We'll definitely see if we can get you some help.
Definitely. I want to say thanks to all the listeners. We've enjoyed you guys. And stay tuned to listen to Real Talk for New Order every third Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, brought to you from Knowledge, Born Allah, Greg Giles, John Drummond, New Order, Jill Rose, and all of our fans and all of our crew, our New Order family that helps us keep the dream alive. Let us be the voice for the voices, and let us keep on fighting. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.